diagnose anxiety. I never want to minimize that. But outside of that context, anytime we get ourselves all spun up, it's because we're putting something in our vision before God and saying, perfect, I don't know how to solve this. I don't have the resources. This is completely out of my control. And we feel anxious when that happens.
Welcome back to Study with Friends, a weekly dive into the answers and questions we find in the Bible, the church, and the broader Christian faith. I'm Paige, and we are in week 7 of our in-depth study on the Sermon on the Mount. This study is different in that it is an 8-week study with 5 daily discussions to unpack Jesus' word in a much deeper and more impactful way. If you would like to get the homework, listen to past episodes, or access any of our other resources, you can find it all and so much more on our website, studywithfriends.org.
This is week 7. And the title of this week is Kingdom Choices. The text for this week in total is Matthew 6, 25 through 7, 12. So it's a really long chunk of text. We're not going to read it in the interest of time, but of course it's in the book and it's also in your Bible. So you can go and read that for a larger context. But today we're going to talk about the first bit of that text. Jan, and I'm coming to you from Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Mm-hmm. So you can tee that up. While I'm kind of giving us a little bit of an overview. So I titled this Kingdom Choices because I think it's important for us to understand what Jesus is trying to communicate, which is that we have options. We have options in how we behave and how we think and how we receive the world and how we respond to it. And so I want to be clear about those choices each day and how I think they intermingle with some things we don't have control over. But I think it's important for us to understand that these are choices that we make sometimes in life. Not to trust God really is one of the biggest takeaways. We're just kicking it off with a really dicey passage, which I think is somewhat difficult for some people to wrap their brain around. So we're going to take our time and really try to do that today. Jan, would you read Matthew 6, 25 to 34?
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, or what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
So, according to the National Institute of Mental Health, in, I don't know what year, 6.8 million adults have generalized anxiety disorder. And so, as we look at this passage, we have to be thinking about people who might read this and feel conflicted in the area of faith and anxiety. So to help us, I would like Renew to read a James passage. Renew, that's James 1, 2, and 4, because James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. Of course, he loved his people and he loved God, but he still wrote about suffering. His people were suffering in real ways. Jan's going to tell us what he wrote about suffering. And we're going to try to square that up with what Jesus said about anxiety. Go ahead, Renew.
My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
So I'm coupling that scripture with this passage on anxiety because trials of various kinds, I mean, that was a nicely broad statement. And I think we think of persecution maybe immediately when we read that passage, but trials can come in all shapes and sizes. People who suffer, suffer. And that includes mental health suffering. What are some ways that you see people suffering in your life or maybe in the broader culture?
Well, you just have to watch the news when, when you see the natural disasters that wipe out everything someone has. Your heart has to break for them. Now that's suffering.
Yes, that is suffering. That's huge. What else?
So what I was thinking about was in two different ways. I was thinking of the trials of various kind in one way, and then the suffering, even breaking that down even further. So for the trials of various kinds, I thought sometimes, like we were talking about, due to the chasing of expectations of our own making could bring about trials, just because, you know, it's the heart desires or whatever that could lead to. Whereas also suffering, that could be categorized into different things, like is it the physical diseases or is it mental, the different types of suffering that people encounter. Mm-hmm. Some things and suffering, I feel like sometimes maybe you're plagued with that. And although we're talking about things that we might choose or the options that we have, sometimes there is the suffering of a nature that is beyond.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So yeah, that's why I thought that the trials and the suffering, depending on the stemming of it.
Yeah. So I'm hearing you say there's suffering we bring on ourselves. Mm-hmm. There's suffering that is caused by disease or, I mean, the root of that being just the nature, the sin nature of the world, the broken nature of the world. Did you say suffering that's brought on to us by others?
I didn't, but I guess it's...
It can be related.
Right, mm-hmm. Because of all that, whether it is emotional, physical, the different forms of it.
Yeah. I agree with that.
You made a good point there about the suffering that comes from your own expectations. How it's... I wonder, can we call that perceived suffering?
Yeah.
Is it real suffering? I don't know.
It's her point.
Call it suffering because, you know, I guess we're getting into a host of different things that are dealing with people's emotional state, right? It's subjective sometimes, mm-hmm. because on a personal level, when I was going through something and I felt like another person doesn't understand what I'm feeling or I do not understand what they're feeling, if what you're going through is causing you enough, I don't want to say damage or harm in some way, it is a suffering.
Distress.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I might be doing it to myself, mm-hmm. but it doesn't negate the fact that I am suffering from it because I have not found my relief or God or whatever the relief from that would be. So oh, it is. I feel like it is still mm-hmm. suffering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, when we're not experiencing the joy of the Lord, that's what James is juxtaposing here. Mm-hmm. He's saying, consider it joy when you experience trials, which is hard to assimilate. But I mention that in the context of healing and the resolution that can sometimes be brought about by God. And that can really include physical and mental health challenges. But God doesn't always heal us miraculously. And so we're still to consider it joy that we're suffering. And we could go into a whole host of how we join with Christ in his suffering. But rather than that, I'd love for Bella to read Matthew 11, 28 and 30. I think that helps us contextualize some suffering that we need to kind of really have as a foundation today.
Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
How would you contextualize that in the context of suffering?
Big question. I don't know. I could talk for like a long time on that. I'm like, I need to read it again. I mean, the easiest way to put it is that like the only true relief and the deepest relief is Jesus. Because when it comes down to it, the yoke that he gives us is, you know, what we deserved would have been the death that he died. And so even though when we go through life and the suffering and the coping that he kind of has us go through may feel difficult to us, it's oftentimes a humbling experience to find yourself sitting there and thinking like, well, wow, I mean, it is easy, because if it wasn't what it was now, like, that would have been me. Mm-hmm. But Jesus was the one who took it for me. So as a result, like, where else would I go? Because there's nobody else, there's no other thing that would make the burden of suffering what it is, you know, by taking the full force of it, by dying. Yeah. For me.
I want to poke into that a little bit, because everything mm-hmm. you said is true. Mm-hmm. And I think there's another layer that helps with this passage from the sermon. And I wanted to see if I can draw it out. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm kind of giving you the side eye, because last time you were here was with Angelina, mm-hmm. and she mentioned hope, the mm-hmm. hope of heaven. Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what I'm thinking about right now. Mm-hmm. That, yes, compared to Jesus' suffering, most of what we experience in this life pales. But to leave it there would be reductive, because some people are really suffering. Depression, mental health is a big one. And I'm kind of keying in on mental health today because of this anxiety word, mm-hmm. do not worry. Mm-hmm. And I wonder, I don't, if any of you, I mean, I've already given you the clue, but would you speak to how the suffering has an end, and that the hope of heaven, no matter how bad the suffering is, and feeling it and validating it completely, not saying, mm-hmm. but compared to Christ, you see where, like, sometimes that could yeah. almost feel trite to someone yeah. and be like, you are not, you just don't understand how much I'm suffering.
Right.
And that's not true, because what you said is true. Christ yeah. suffered and died for us, and short of that, we're not suffering what we deserve. Mm-hmm. But we're still suffering. And this is what James is dealing with. He's saying, consider it all joy. That doesn't make sense. Only in the context of those of us who know Jesus know that this has an end, and it gives us hope. This is maybe trivial. It probably is, but it's an interesting analogy. There's a particular job for the ministry that I have been doing lately that I need to hand off to someone. And I have now a person to hand it to, and I can't wait. Like, I know that mm-hmm. I'm like, I hate this role. Like, I don't do it well. I hate it. But knowing that there's an end, I'm like, oh, I can do it. Do you see what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel completely different about it. I'm not as grumpy about it. I don't feel cranky when it pops up. I'm like, oh, I'm only doing this for a little while. And then I'm handing it to someone else. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm not trying to trivialize major suffering, but that's the idea. Mm-hmm. Can anyone else speak to that?
I could keep talking for forever on that, so I'll try to. But I feel like that's something that I know very, like, very well. That concept is of, like, well, this is going on for forever. My suffering is really deep, and I want to know there's an end. There's got to be some sort of end or some sort of way to mm-hmm. to carry it better. And that's, I mean, that's a lot of what we're learning. I'm like 2/3 through my master's in counseling, so it's a lot of, that's like supposed to be my job, so people mm-hmm. figure out how to do that and how to see the end. And I often come back to John 16:33, which is like, take heart. Or that's the second half. There, in this world, there will be suffering. Like, he doesn't say there might be suffering. There will be suffering. But take heart, for I've overcome the world. And exactly. Yeah. And so I think that's a very empathetic, if you will, statement from Jesus, acknowledging, like, I'm expecting you to come to me in prayer, like, crying and telling me how deep in it you are. But he will assure you each time of exactly what you're saying, is that there is an end. And, you know, even now there's suffering, but he has already overcome. He's speaking in the past tense that. And then, I don't know, I could give a personal example even. I mean, I have my own mental things, but I think a good example of this is when I was in high school. When I finished high school, I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, which is like one of those, not terminal usually, but chronic. And so I was like, well, this will never go away. And that was really shocking. And like, out of nowhere, it was one day I was fine. And then over the course of like barely any time, I felt like I was like dying, essentially. I felt like I was losing my life. And but I mean, thanks to modern medicine, obviously I'm great now, but that was a like real truth that I had to confront. Mm. Was like, what is this? Like, I had people like praying for miraculous healing, and I had to kind of assure them, like, no, this is my walk with Christ. And that's a whole different conversation, but a lot of that ended up centering around teachings like this, like Matthew 6, and like, don't be anxious. Okay, well, what does that look like? But I kind of felt like over time I learned, it almost felt like God kind of told me a little secret. Like, I got to learn what it was like to have the hope of heaven, or like, I had this new understanding of what it's like to look forward to a perfect body in heaven. And I know, like, I am not the only person who knows that. Like, I think anyone who's, you know, like, gone through any sort of sickness or any sort of, like, you know, my grandmother says the same thing as she starts to see herself age. But, like, it's the same idea. It's like, now I have this new hope of heaven because I understand what it's going to be like to, you know, one day I had full health and then seemingly the next day I didn't. But now I know that,
so,
like,
now the hope of heaven is more real to
it's
you.
So much more real. Yeah.
And so is that a way we can claim joy from suffering? Because before the suffering, the hope of heaven was out there somewhere in my head. And now the hope of heaven is very real to me. So that's great. Thank you. I wanted to, so I want to deal with how we should handle this passage if we don't have diagnosed anxiety. So I want to get to that.
I just wanted to make one small point about something I learned from studying this particular passage. And it's one of those passages like everybody else, you've read it 100 times and then you see something. And when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Now that word rest, I thought it meant rest.
Sleeping.
You know, like just... But here, as I studied, it means more than that. It means he says, I will give you my love and my peace and my healing. Big difference.
Big difference.
So that, along with the hope of heaven, should strengthen.
Yeah, it gives us a different way of looking at that passage. Thank you for that. That's actually a perfect segue because, you know, there's a difference between diagnosed anxiety disorders and anxiety that is a result of relying more on ourselves than God. Right? So that's what I want to develop. How about you go first?
Okay, without getting into a whole lot of details, I was in crisis mode about something, and because I didn't have the tools to deal with it, but there I was, and I was like the Lone Ranger. Nobody coming alongside to, you know, get you through it. And I think a lot of the suffering that I endured was really my frustration because I didn't have the answers. And it was frightening. It was really like terror. And it wasn't until the day of surrender when I said, "I don't know. I just trust you." And I was done and I could get a good night's sleep. So I was actually brought there. I mean, we've all had those moments, you know, but it wasn't until I was right there.
I mean, who can't relate to what you just described? And I love that you kept it vague, because if you had made it specific, we would have been more interested in your story. But because you kept it vague, I was like, oh, I really understand, and I can identify, and I can put my own
situation in
into those words. I mean, we've all done that. And that's what Jesus is saying here. God has made promises to us. They aren't the promises of the world and capitalism, but he's made promises to us that we need to rely on. And sometimes it's harder than others, depending on what we prioritize in life. If you're facing a massive financial crisis and that's your priority, financial security, that's going to feel dramatic and really, I love the word terrorizing. But whatever those things are, again, I can't say it enough, outside of the context of mental health, diagnosed anxiety, I never want to minimize that. But outside of that context, anytime we get ourselves all spun up, it's because we're putting something in our vision before God and saying, perfect, I don't know how to solve this. I don't have the resources, not just financial, but like whatever, the wherewithal. I don't have the ability to solve this. This is completely out of my control. And we feel anxious when that happens. Any other comments on that?
I don't know if this is going to come off a little controversial in discussing this.
Ooh, bring
but
it.
What I'm about to say is it has context in the experience that I had. So I'm going to use the example. I have some friends who were having a hard time conceiving, and that was suffering for them because they desperately wanted to have children. And one of the women, she was able to conceive and have children, and the other one was not able to. And so the one who was telling the other one, "You just have to believe enough." So she was at a point in her walk where she felt her healing had come. And we still have the other person who has not reached there yet. So when we're talking about suffering, trials of various kinds, there's different natures to it.
Sure.
And so this, whether it's the mental, your emotional conditions, things that are in your life that are really causing you suffering, when I have a close relationship with God, I truly believe God speaks to me, heals me. Every person has to reach that point mm-hmm. on their own. Mm-hmm. So even the verses when it says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Only the person who is able to receive that, able to benefit from yeah. that fully. Mm-hmm. So yes, the person who was able to conceive. For years, she said she cried and went through miscarriages and all of that. But at some point, her truth, her faith, her connection with the Lord, she feels that healed her. So all of these things that when we are looking for the comfort and the rest, the relief from whatever we are ailed with, I feel it's a very individual path and journey mm-hmm. and different people reach it in different ways. Yeah. There are some people who are able to pray and they receive immediate relief from their anxiety or their suffering or a condition. That's why I said I don't want to sound controversial, like, oh, what is she trying to say, that I don't believe enough so I wasn't healed or yeah. I am not. That's not the point. We can only do what we can do in our search and our reach. And some days I'm able to search harder and reach higher. Some days I'm not.
Yeah. And what I think I'm hearing you say, just to be clear, is healing can come in all shapes and sizes, the same way that suffering comes in all shapes and sizes. Mm-hmm. And I can be healed of my grief whether the baby comes or not. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it is, I will say this, be careful when someone is suffering mm-hmm. and you say, you just don't have enough faith. Mm-hmm. In fact, don't say that.
Yeah.
let's just rule that out. Mm-hmm. Because if you're suffering, that can actually turn you away from the Lord. Mm-hmm. If you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
to answer that. So the young lady who was not able to conceive, she spoke to me as, you know, and of course these things hurt. And she said, I'm ready to have a child, whether it's through my womb or my heart. They were ready to do whatever, they adopt or whatever. So, and that helped her feel healing.
Yeah.
And she did conceive and have a child later. Yeah. But she let go of that pressure. Mm-hmm. I started thinking in my mind when I try to calm myself down, I use a pressure cooker to cook my rice. It has to come to that steam boiled up in there. And that lid is keeping all that pressure inside. And that's what I kind of equate my mental instability with sometimes. I am not letting go of all that pressure.
Yeah.
If you just release that steam, it really is like that exhale. Mm-hmm. You can calm down, like you said, when you're reading into the word rest more mm-hmm. and you see it and feel it, there is inner peace. But everyone, like I was trying to say before, is it's an individual journey, an individual path. Yes. We all, and yes. we have to get to it through whatever journey we're meant to have. But once we get there, it's beautiful. And not that once we get there, we don't get lost again.
Yeah, I was just going to say, mm-hmm. yeah. we might get there on this issue, mm-hmm. and then a new issue pops yeah, up, right. and we're back at square one again.
Because it's
hard.
We're still living until the yeah. day we're mm-hmm. done living.
Yeah.
We're going to have different places.
The hope of heaven.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to wrap up there. But in the book, there are several other passages that give us additional context for suffering and faith, anxiety and faith. And I would really recommend looking at Appendix B for some disability theology thinking.
Thanks again for joining us today on Study with Friends. We hope that you've found some deep truths that will strengthen your walk with Jesus. We here at Study with Friends are modeled more like a small group, and we encourage you to find one through your local church. Make sure to find a church where the Bible is taught in every situation. Study with Friends is a completely donor-supported organization. If you've been blessed by our ministry, would you consider donating? Monthly partnerships are particularly helpful, but no amount is too small. We also love to hear from you. You can stay connected on all the major social media platforms or by email. You can find links to all of these on our website, studywithfriends.org. If you've missed any episodes and are out on the go, be sure to catch the ladies on any of your favorite streaming platforms. Or you can catch the ladies via video on YouTube. We hope you have a great week, and we'll see you next time when we study with friends.